Welcome to the Renewables Talent Lab, the number one catalyst for advancing careers and building high-performance teams in the renewable sector. Sponsored by the Anthony Michael Group, helping companies secure in-demand talent across the continuum from concept through commercialization and beyond in areas like energy storage, electric vehicles, hydrogen, solar, wind, and more. Here's your co-hosts, Mitch Robbins and Adam Soppy.
All right. Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of the Renewables Talent Lab. This is Adam Soppy. I am a principal talent advisor here with the Anthony Michael Group. I lead our U.S. renewables recruitment practice. Happen to live here in Colorado, as does our guest today. Very, very excited to welcome Jenna Lococo. I will have to reference my notes just because there's so much there and I don't want to miss anything. So Jenna has over 8 years of experience working across the energy industry. She's cultivated sustainable and clean energy experiences through diverse roles in industry, policy, consulting. Essentially, she's tackled climate challenges from multiple angles. She currently serves as the chief of staff for Novo Hydrogen, which is a green hydrogen project developer based in Golden, Colorado. She spearheads initiatives, streamlines company processes, and supports the achievement of organizational objectives. Prior to Novo Hydrogen, Jenna's previous positions included being a sustainability consultant at McKinsey & Company. We were talking offline, we'll maybe dig into that a little bit. I'm very intrigued by that organization. She's also tackled policy program, or was policy program manager at ClearPath, an environmental engineer at ExxonMobil. So we'll maybe figure that out, how you pivoted from oil and gas into green H2. Jenna's career has taken her literally around the globe. From LaBarge, Wyoming. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I apologize to anyone in LaBarge or LaBarge, Wyoming, all the way to Georgetown, Guyana. So that's it. Interesting. Maybe we can dive into that a little bit as well. Jenna is passionate about reducing the impacts of business on climate change and is excited to drive steel in the ground projects that enable greenhouse gas emission reductions. Jenna holds a bachelor's and a master's degree in environmental engineering, as well as a professional engineering license. I'm going to have to take a deep breath and catch my wind. Did I miss anything? And welcome to the show, Jenna.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me today, Adam. No, I think you got that all covered.
Well, let's jump in then. As the intro or bio would indicate, there's a lot there. And so I'm really excited to hear, kind of maybe back to your origin story, or at least how you made that career path from oil and gas. I'd reference ExxonMobil and how you ended up here working in green H2O, or H2 rather. We can start there.
Yeah, happy to walk you through my career journey, because it has been quite the journey from Exxon to Denver, Colorado, working in green hydrogen. As you mentioned, I studied environmental engineering in college, and I can't say when I was 18 to 22 that working in the oil and gas industry was something on my radar as someone studying an environmental degree. But when I was thinking about where I wanted to go after college, I realized working from within a carbon-intensive industry, I was going to be able to advocate for a lot more change than working on the outside. So took a job with ExxonMobil and was with them for about 5.5 years, working mainly in environmental and regulatory compliance. So doing things like environmental permitting, environmental impact assessments, greenhouse gas reporting, air quality monitoring. And through that experience, that's when I got my first taste of clean energy technology. You mentioned LaBarge, Wyoming, where I used to work. I supported ExxonMobil's assets in Wyoming, and one of the facilities out there at the time was considered one of the world's largest carbon capture and storage projects. And so compliance for that facility fell under my role. So I got involved in things like 45Q tax credits and the Subpart RR monitoring, reporting, and verification plans. And this was from 2016 to about 2018. And at this time, not a lot of other people were really doing carbon capture. So I got to have this really great niche experience at Exxon very early in my career. And then when I decided I wanted to pivot away from oil and gas, I was able to use that experience to then move into the role I had at ClearPath as a carbon capture and storage policy program manager. So I ran their carbon capture portfolio. ClearPath is a think tank and advocacy group in DC that focuses on federal policy for clean energy innovation. I was with them for about 1.5 years and got to see the infrastructure law get passed, got to see the beginnings of the Inflation Reduction Act, and worked on programs that ultimately ended up in that. So it was a really exciting time to work on climate policy and get to see how the sausage gets made in Washington, DC when it comes to federal policy. and really left with an appreciation for how policy can enable this industry to grow and develop, and then took a job with McKinsey & Company as a sustainability consultant. That's what brought me out here to Colorado. Since I had worked in oil and gas and then was working in carbon capture, there is a lot of overlap between the two. So I was really looking to broaden my skill set as a sustainability professional, which was why a role in consulting was so appealing to me. So I was with McKinsey for about a year working in their Sustainability Insights group. And that group was working with private and public sector clients, looking at decarbonization initiatives, how they could implement net zero plans. So it was a great way to see a lot in a very short amount of time, get up to speed on a lot of different topics very quickly. But then when I was ending my time with consulting, I was thinking, what am I really excited about? And I realized that where I like to fit within an organization is with companies that are developing and building things. So that's how I came across Novo Hydrogen. As you mentioned, we're based here in Golden, Colorado. We're a green hydrogen project developer. So that was really exciting to me to get back into that project development space and work with a company where you actually get to say we're reducing CO2 emissions. And I currently serve as their chief of staff and have been with Novo since last July.
That's amazing. There's so much to unpack there. And I think, your experiences have given you kind of a unique perspective. And there is a lot of overlap, right? There, as you kind of alluded to, with, you know, companies like Exxon, BP, and there's others that are now leading the charge in the renewable energy space, which is awesome to see. And there's so much that overlaps from the ground, you know, from what I hear, talking with folks all day, every day, that those folks are well prepared to help with carbon capture and sequester and permitting ground and water and stuff like that. So there's a huge overlap. It allows you, I can imagine, to liaise between all of those worlds. The policy making, like you said, you kind of got to see how the sausage is made, and it's probably not a pretty picture, you know, going through Washington, D.C. And so you kind of see, here's what happens. And I was actually listening to a podcast this morning with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was talking a lot about that too, as an eye-opening experience for him, just how many intricacies and nuances to get anything done. And we can only imagine. It's easy to criticize our politicians in Washington, but I think there's just so much, you know, complexity. And it's a small miracle, I think, that Inflation Reduction Act happened and got through. And with so much, it was a robust bill, obviously, and there's hopefully more to come. But yeah, if there's anything you'd want to share from your time there, I mean, that's really intriguing. You know, anything in terms of what we should know about how climate policy gets into play, and if there's anything we as consumers or voters or citizens can do to help impact that positively.
Yeah, you know, I think another appreciation I had working in the policy space and at Exxon was just how important regulatory certainty is. Good policy happens because it's on a bipartisan topic. And I think when it comes to climate and clean energy, there is a lot of opportunity for bipartisan partnering. Yeah. That's why it's very exciting to be in the hydrogen space, because it very much is a bipartisan issue. But ultimately, the industry does need that regulatory certainty. Very early on when I was at Exxon, it transitioned from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. And under Obama, there had been a ton of work done to try to regulate methane. And then when Trump came in, there was a lot done to try to unravel a lot of that. And we just didn't even know how to comply. We didn't know what was happening that day, what rules were in place. If something got pulled down, was it really pulled down? Should we continue to comply? And it just created a lot of uncertainty and instability for the industry. I think ultimately we got there. And for example, the facilities I worked at, we ended up just deciding to comply because we knew it was going to happen one day. So we wanted to get ahead. But that regulatory certainty is really important. And I would say that bipartisanship is also really important to get good, sustainable climate policy in place.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know it's a touchy subject. We will go down that the rabbit hole necessarily, but with the Inflation Reduction Act, one thing I was super impressed with is a lot of those big projects are in states that maybe historically might not support that initiative, and it's creating jobs for folks in, I think the term is maybe disadvantaged, which is maybe a misleading term, but it's like, you know, maybe coal country, maybe it's folks that were in oil and gas that they can now, if their positions are being eliminated, well, here's some, in theory, better positions, better paying, you know, safer in many cases, and you're getting to work on some cool stuff and literally save the world. So what's better than that? I'm biased. But as you said, hydrogen is for the most part bipartisan. And it's interesting that you alluded to the regulatory piece. That's what I've heard a lot of, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, gosh, if there's a changing of the guard in November, that leader wants to unravel the Inflation Reduction Act. is there enough momentum, or could that happen overnight? And it sounds like there, you know, folks I've talked to that are in the know have said, hey, once you get the regulations in place, then it's hard to unravel everything else. So to your point, I mean, once the regulations and you're getting those standards in place, there's a lot of momentum behind that. In addition to funding and construction starts and stuff like that, like you had mentioned, or I mentioned in your bio, steel in the ground project. So that's exciting. I talked a little bit about, you know, what you do now at Novo, but could you maybe walk us through a day in the life, or what are some top priorities for a chief of staff? I can imagine it's a crucial role for the organization, but maybe you can shed a little light on what you're doing.
Yeah, happy to. The chief of staff role is a very exciting role. It's unlike anything I've done in my career. You wear a lot of different hats and you're doing a little bit of pretty much everything in the organization. But I've heard the chief of staff role be described, broken up into three main buckets of culture, operations, and strategy. And I think that's a really good way of thinking about what the scope of this role is. So, for example, on the culture side, what I do at Novo, it's a lot of keeping tabs on how our employees are doing. We have a weekly pulse survey we send out to everybody. So I love going in and monitoring how people are doing, what feedback they have, and then implementing that feedback. One of the most fun parts of this job is I'm the one that gets to plan our team building events. We get together on a monthly basis where everyone comes to Colorado. So that's been really fun to build that culture, especially as we continue to grow and scale. We're thinking a lot about how do we continue to maintain what is important to us. On the operations side, it is a lot of day-to-day support. Novo, we're split into three different functions of commercial, development, and finance. So a lot of my job is serving as a utility player for those teams. When they need an extra pair of hands, someone to help run a project, develop a process, I'll step in and provide that support to our teams. You're working with the board and prepping materials for that. I'm working really closely with our investors. Also doing a lot of our support service functions, which has been a really fun new part of this job I haven't done before, like HR related things and IT and marketing. That's been a really fun new skill set to develop. And then on the strategy side, you serve as a thought partner to the CEO. And I work closely with our leadership team on what do we want to accomplish this year? What goals are we going to put in place at the company, the team, and the individual level, and then developing the right processes to track and report on our progress towards those goals. So really, there is no typical day for a chief of staff. It's very varied, like it. But I think that's what keeps this job really fun and exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, no Groundhog's Day, no complacency setting yeah, did. Exactly. You wake up, eat your Cheerios, your proverbial Cheerios, and then get ready to tackle the day, I guess. You know, you might have a framework of here are some things I want to get accomplished or some meetings that are on the schedule, but then I'm assuming there's a lot of putting out fires or pivoting. Timelines yeah, can change.
Yeah.
Projects and priorities can change too, especially with a smaller or growing company versus an organization with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of employees, which is a good problem to have, but it's also, you know, those growing pains. I have personally seen, I've been a recruiter for 11 years and I've seen that where, gosh, you know, you get two or three knuckleheads in there and the culture, the DNA can really go south quickly. What do you have in place to kind of protect that? You know, it sounds like weekly pulse surveys. That's amazing. I don't know that I've ever heard of that. Is there anything else in place to kind of protect the integrity of the company as you guys get bigger?
Yeah, I think a lot of how we're protecting that culture is our recruiting strategy. So our CEO, Matt McMonagle, has done a great job of trying to collate a very diverse population of employees. So there's about half of us that come from an oil and gas background, a decent chunk come from a renewable background, and then others that have just kind of worked in this space or have a relevant skill set. So we very much welcome that diversity of thought in the organization and want to bring the best talent into us. As you mentioned, we do these weekly pulse checks. So that's a really fun way to just keep tabs. We have an optional question as part of that where it asked, like the other day, it was, if you had a magic wand, what's something you would change in the company? Are there any meetings on the calendar you think aren't effective? Who would you like to grab a coffee with? Now go set up time with them.
Oh, so wow.
There's some just easy tactical ways we can do that. And then as we grow, it is something we're thinking about. How do we continue to maintain that? Half of us are based in Golden. Half of us are around the country. So we're a hybrid organization. So we're thinking a lot more about how do we continue to build that culture even as we become more virtual.
That's awesome. And it sounds like you're implementing change too, or playing on that. I kind of roll my eyes sometimes when I hear culture because it's a buzzword and folks have the mission statement and everything else. And if you ask, you know, 100 employees, hey, what are some of the top, you know, things from the mission statement? I think they'd look at you, you know, kind of with the glassy eyes, and they don't really know that. Or if you ask, hey, what could you do here? What, you want to have a coffee with Jenna? Do you want to have a coffee with Matt? It sounds like then you're actually helping to set that up. So that's amazing. Are you comfortable sharing any of the team building events that you've done over the years or over the past several months, I guess, since July?
Yeah, we do an annual Red Rock show. So we did one last year, and we're doing another one in June this year. So that's really exciting. And actually last week, the team got together and we did what's called a Jeffersonian dinner. This was a new concept to me. But Thomas Jefferson, back in the day, he would have people over and they would talk about a very specific topic in an intimate environment. And that's all they would discuss. So the ground rules are everyone can only talk about this topic. There's no side conversations, and it's meant to be a topic where you can really dive into it and get to know each other. So we actually, our topic was happiness and what brings you true happiness. Wow. How do you integrate that into our daily life? So we all got dinner and sat around, and Matt, our CEO, showed up wearing a Thomas Jefferson wig. Another good example of the culture we have at Novo. We like to keep it light while at the same time, you know, working really hard, but enjoying it along the way.
That's amazing. Well, full immersion into the Jeffersonian theme and the dinner. These are things I've never heard of. And Red Rocks, to folks outside of Colorado, and I grew up in the Midwest, so we've been here 11 years. Such an amazing amphitheater, such an amazing venue. The Beatles have played there, and Elvis, you name it, the Rolling Stones. And it's just, it's a magical experience. My wife and I, and we've been to a few shows there, and yeah, I can't wait to go to more, whether it's a band, a DJ, a comedian, or whatever it is. It's just a magical experience. So that's very cool that you're doing that every year. McKinsey, I don't know if we want to spend too much time. I had kind of, you know, asked you offline about it. It's just, to me, it's like an intriguing place. It's a think tank. A lot of sharp people, a lot of sharp minds have gone through there or are still there. And maybe, you know, maybe if I saw behind the, you know, I saw into the Wizard of Oz, I kind of saw behind the scenes, maybe I would lose some of its appeal to me. But is there anything you'd like to share from your time there? Yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that. Is there anything you'd want to share from your time at McKinsey?
Yeah, consulting is a really interesting job. You know, it is a really hard lifestyle. I will not lie about that. You're traveling a lot, you're working long hours, but it's a really great way to learn a lot in a short amount of time. Like I had mentioned, I really wanted to broaden myself as a sustainability professional. So for me, instead of going and getting an MBA or going back to school, consulting was kind of that for me, of developing that, what they call the consulting toolkit, learning how to communicate and message different things and work with different stakeholders. And you really do have to become an expert in a short amount of time. You're working on projects that are typically like 4 to 12 weeks. So by day two, you're kind of expected to be up to speed, interacting with your client and able to deliver. Wow. So that was, you know, a huge learning curve of having to do that. Normally you have quite a few months to get up to speed on something. But I really do think that experience has benefited me in this role. A lot of what I do is help prep materials for customers, for our investors, for our board, for external audiences. So having that communications toolkit from consulting has been really useful. And because the chief of staff job is so varied and you're doing a lot that you probably haven't done in a previous career, consulting was kind of the same of, well, I'm not an expert in how two companies merge that are renewable energy companies, but I'm now working on this project, so I'll go figure it out. So you learn really quickly who's the right person who knows this information, what do I have to get done and at what time, how am I communicating this out, what are my different priorities and how are they changing every day?
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. And I can imagine, you know, if we look back, I was going to say old and gray, I'm already gray, but when we're old, we'll look back at these times and solar and wind have been around for maybe 2 decades or so, but I really feel like we're still in the wild, wild west. So regulations are changing, policies changing, the public buy-in is changing. You know, there's so much going on and the tech is changing, right? Like green hydrogen, the full rainbow of hydrogen, I feel like it existed 5 or 10 years ago, at least not at scale where somebody like myself would know about that. And hydro and hydra and nuclear and fusion, who knows, maybe we'll have a star on our planet that fuels everything in 70 years. Or, you know, there's just so much going on that it really is the wild, wild west in that I can imagine being able to get up to speed quickly and pivot so drastically and keep up with that tempo, you know, serves you well in this current role. I'm watching the time here and I want to be mindful of your time. There's a lot to be excited about at Novo right now. It sounds like there's a lot of exciting things going on. I won't, you know, dive too far into that, but is there anything that you would want to share about, you know, what you're doing at Noble Hydrogen and just kind of the, you know, as a company, what's in the future? Maybe that's 3 months out, 6 months out, 5 years out, whatever that is.
Yeah, happy to. So Novo Hydrogen, we're a green hydrogen project developer. We were founded in 2021, and we develop on-site and near-site hydrogen projects for customers in a variety of different sectors, be that power, transportation, or heavy industry. Since I've joined, it has been a super exciting year. Shortly after I joined last year, we announced a Series A equity growth round with our investors, Modern Energy. They invested $20 million, and we're really excited to have their partnership as we continue to grow and develop our customer and project pipeline and bolster our in-house capabilities. Another exciting thing that we announced last year, we were selected for award negotiations for the Department of Energy's Regional Hydrogen Hubs Program. Taking a step back, that Hubs Program was funded through the bipartisan infrastructure law, where there were $8 billion set aside for hydrogen. $7 billion of that went to this Regional Hydrogen Hubs Program. DOE selected seven of these hubs for award negotiations, which included the Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Hub, and we, Novo, have a project as part of that. So we're very excited to be part of that initiative and look forward to being able to share more soon on that. And yeah, we're just continuing to grow and scale. We're hiring two new positions right now to bring our team to 16 people. About a year ago was probably half that size. So a lot of growth and development this year.
That's, gosh, that's an amazing time. Yeah, and big nod. I was hoping you would reference the DOE selection. That's a big deal, you know, financially for the firepower and reserves and peace of mind and everything that, that comes along with a startup, but also the ability to do some really important work, or I should say continue to do really important work, and to be able to double, you know, roughly, you know, 8 to 16 here in the past year. That's exciting as well. It's a really exciting time for the company. And so, yeah, that's amazing. And like I kind of alluded to, hey, if we look back at these times, you know, you'll hopefully it'll be a nice feather in your cap professionally and go, hey, I helped get us from point A to point B, whatever that future holds. Do you have any, this is a loaded question, I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you have any bold predictions, you know, 5 years out, 10 years out, 30 years out? I know we have the carbon neutrality commitments. I won't say promises, but commitments, certainly, you know, 2030 is a big year, 2050, et cetera. But is there anything, I guess I'm hoping that you'll say you're optimistic about the future in general with green hydrogen and renewable energy as a whole, but not to lead you into that, but what are your thoughts on the future and what can we do to help propel that?
Yeah, I am optimistic. I think when you work in this space, you have to stay optimistic because it's hard. It's hard.
A lot of headwinds.
Yeah. And having started in regulatory compliance, then working in policy, and now being here now post-infrastructure law, post-Inflation Reduction Act, I do think there's just a lot of momentum for clean energy technology. So I'm really invigorated by that. In terms of bold predictions for hydrogen, I think we'll just see a lot of where does hydrogen have the best use case. There's a lot of hype around hydrogen that's really versatile, which it is, but we want to make sure we're using it for where it makes sense. I think we're going to need every technology in the climate toolbox, and just excited to be doing our small slice at Novo Hydrogen.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah, I share your sentiment, and it is an exciting time for hydrogen in addition to other platforms or other technologies. So, gosh, I mean, there's so much to cover. Maybe we'll invite you to be back on if you would oblige in 6 months and get us up to speed there with where you're at. But this might be a good jumping off point. I'll share links to some of these key initiatives and, you know, maybe some of the, you know, the news around Novo Hydrogen with the DOE up selection, with the Series A investments, anything else it sounds like maybe is on the horizon. We can add to that as we're privy to. But Jenna, thank you again for being on the show. Thank you for the important work that you and your team are doing on a daily basis. I mean that with all sincerity. A lot of sharp people are in this space trying to solve complex problems. And I think powering the world, in addition to providing food for 8 to soon to be 10 billion people and getting clean water. I know that's water is a huge deal here in Colorado. And if we don't get this stuff right, I think, you know, nothing else that we do is going to matter. So thank you in all sincerity for everything that you're doing. And I'll let you get back to your day.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Renewables Talent Lab podcast. For more content-rich episodes, log on to theanthonymichaelgroup.com or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.